You're listening to the Movement is Medicine Show, a podcast hosted by Head to Toe Spine and Sports Therapy, a modern chiropractic and manual therapy practice in Edmonds, Washington. Now, let's get into the show. Gentlemen, what's up? And happy day.
How's it going, Bay?
How's it going? Good. How are you guys?
Doing good.
Not too bad.
Doing good. Yeah.
Excellent. Excellent. Surviving the snow apocalypse here.
Yeah.
It's like a mini snow apocalypse.
Yeah. Not as bad as last year. So we're not really dealing with all that, but a little one.
Totally. Last year was actual life and death.
Yeah.
This year, not so much. At least that's what people like to think.
Exactly. Right. Yeah.
Totally,
yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
So, gentlemen, today we have an interesting show. We're going to be talking about fascia today. Correct. Is in the myofascial layer.
Correct.
Yeah. That's
what
correct.
Is it?
Yeah.
I mean, I think we've all heard that term fascial release or fascia, but let's maybe start off with what is it?
So, fascia is essentially it's the sleeve that surrounds each muscle. So it gives the muscle its shape. It takes input from the nervous system. It'll take that electrical impulse that the nerve sends it and basically shower the entire muscle in it, which allows the muscle to contract to give it its function. So fascia does a lot of really interesting things. Once you start addressing the fascia specifically, you notice a lot of changes in people's pain levels, how their muscles function, their range of motion deficits, et cetera, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, I think that's one of the biggest things that Lee just touched on there with the fascia is just, give shape and function to the muscles. Because, the muscles themselves, they're going to listen to kind of like what the nervous system is telling it. And like Lee was saying, that fascia is kind of an extension of the nervous system, helps transmit not only those nervous impulses, but also different forces throughout the muscles due to the fascia. And it's such a big system that covers all the muscles in your body, and not even just the muscles in your body, the viscera, kind of the organs in your body. Mm-hmm. It's a connective tissue that just connects all these different systems together. I mean, we can even add in the lymphatic system to that. So really a wide-ranging system that has a lot of effect on the body and your motion and just kind of how you move as well.
I think the fascia ultimately would be the buffer between the nervous system and the muscle.
Yeah.
So to think of it like that, as the fascia is the middleman has the nerves telling the fascia what to do, and then the fascia is telling like your lymph node or your organ or your muscle or whatever it is how to appropriately function.
So with something that pervasive in the body and kind of with such a critical role, there's probably a number of things that can go wrong along the way, but injuries or damage to that system. When we see it and when we're treating it, what are some of the typical things that we see going wrong with the fascia that we're helping?
Well, the number one thing that we're going to see here what affects 3 out of 4 Americans, according to the most recent research, is dehydration. The fascia is about 90 to 95% water. So when we dehydrate, we're dehydrating our fascia, we're dehydrating our organs, we're dehydrating our muscles. So the fascia being also like a water transport system, when you're dehydrated, we notice a lot of changes. The fascia won't be as supple. It'll be harder. It won't function as well because it's not going to be as moldable. It's going to be more stiff. So with that, and a lot of the fascial movement that we're going to do in the office is to rehydrate that tissue, bring more water in, and to push some of that older fluid tissue water out.
Yeah. So when we have that, like Lee was saying, when we have that dehydration kind of going on throughout the fascia, which I think a lot of people don't necessarily realize that they might be dehydrated a lot of times because, it's not just a matter of drinking water. There's a bunch of stuff we get into about how you need to rehydrate yourself and everything like that. But that dehydration, does lead to a lot more stiffness in the fascia. And that's a lot of what we see, that stiffness in the fascia, which can then cause problems in the muscle itself. So it's not necessarily a muscle issue right off the bat. It might be a fascial issue that is causing the muscle not to function as well, because then we have stiffness. A lot of people talk about, adhesions in the fascia as well. And that's a lot of times where we can kind of get into that, is when we have some of that dehydration. Or on top of that as well, we can talk about lack of motion, right? Which that is a huge factor as well. I mean, we talk about here, movement is medicine, right? And that's definitely true when we're talking about the fascia. Like, you need to make sure that you're taking that through movement and then also having that tissue hydrated as well.
Right. And that's, again, like, dehydration doesn't necessarily mean you're not drinking enough water. It doesn't mean you don't have enough water in your system. It could be just something local, like the plantar fascia, like we've talked about in past podcasts. When that tissue loses water, whether that's because of tension or that's because of a lack of blood flow to the area, there's a lack of water flow to the area, it's going to dehydrate because the tissues need water to function. So whatever water is stuck in that area, it's going to leach that out. Mm-hmm. Eventually that water is gone. So the only thing that we're going to do to rehydrate that would be either we drink more water, but we need movement. So we use our lacrosse ball on the bottom of our foot. We do ART or Graston or some other technique like cupping or laser. It's more to promote that flow of the water because, again, the fascial system is a water transporter just as much as it's going to transport that nervous impulse. Honestly, it's not going to do one or the other. It's because it has a lot of water, it can support that electrical impulse because water is a conductor.
Mm-hmm. So we're talking the classic use it, kind of that use it or lose it type of thing where we have lack of movement, we have stagnation then, and then that will create a host of issues in that particular affected local area.
Absolutely. Yeah, and it's not necessarily just the local area either. I'm glad that you just touched on that because, you know, a lot of times we'll have pain present in a local area. Like it'll present in a specific
area. Like my shoulder,
right?
Or this little elbow hurts, or like my wrist hurts, or whatever.
Exactly, right? Where it's like a single area, it's like, oh man, I'm having pain there. It's like, this isn't moving as well. It's like, okay, yeah, right. That's not moving as well. We're having pain in that area. That's where the pain is presenting. But a lot of times, because like we were talking about before, how interconnected this whole fascial system is, that might not be the issue. Like, you know, a lot of times it necessarily isn't the issue. There might be something else going on somewhere else. And we can kind of get into a little bit, this is based on an Anatomy Trains book that, you know, we'll reference here sometimes when we're treating people, and the fact that there are fascial lines that run through the body, right? And these are a lot of times functional fascial lines that run through the body that are connecting muscles that work together as you're going through movement, right? And just for the example, let's say like a wrist or a forearm or something like that, right? There's a fascial line that connects all the way from kind of like the side base of your skull down the backside, lateral side of your arm, all the way down into your hand, into your thumb, right? So there could be an issue happening on any part of that chain. And because the fascia is so connected and it kind of builds tension throughout that entire line, you really have to look at the entire line if you want to treat the system as a whole, if you want to actually figure out where that pain is coming from.
Right. And with that lateral arm line that Tim was talking about, and Tom Meyer's work with Anatomy Trains, if you're interested in fascia, that's a great book to read. It's pretty cheap. You can find it on Amazon. What's going to happen there is it's sometimes it's going to present as like an epicondylitis or like like a golfer's elbow or a tennis elbow, right? And what we're finding there, especially with the fascia, is that that fascia is anchoring tension at that spot because it wants to help the whole system move appropriately. And it's not a very, it's obviously not a good spot for it to anchor tension because we have pain. But that tension's anchoring there. It's probably compromising some of that flow of those water, those tissues, those rehydrating stuff that we talked about earlier. And then we have to essentially show that tract how to properly move again. And that could be from anything passive like we do in the clinic. That could be something active. Most of the time when we do active things, we can break up those adhesions more permanently and the body sees a better effect from that.
So in some ways, it's like an old school, like if we think about an old school Christmas tree, string of Christmas tree lights where, you know, it's like, the one light, if a little light bulb gets loose, the whole light kind of that thing stops functioning properly.
Exactly.
And it can be anywhere along the light string, you know what I mean? Where is that bulb that's out that's causing that problem, right? Mm-hmm. So here, if we're saying, well, I have like this, I mean, maybe I'm having carpal tunnel, like some kind of pain, or I'm thinking I have carpal tunnel and I'm thinking it's in my wrist. Well, in actuality, it could be a problem, and most likely it is a problem in that fascia line that goes all the way up the back of the arm, over the shoulder, into the side of the neck.
Yeah.
So we're going to look at all of that stuff. And then what you're saying, Lee, is that when we come to the clinic to treat that, we're doing some release on that, but then also some of the movement patterning, some of that active movement patterning and repatterning that we're then teaching and putting, say, a patient through is then critical for that. Maybe like long term.
Correct. I mean, and that's what makes us a modern chiropractic clinic, right? We don't just do an adjustment, a passive therapy, and then send you off on your way to hopefully fix it on your own. We get rid of that restriction, and then we support that by showing your body how to move through that restriction. So if I say I adjust your spine into a right rotation, your thoracic spine, to help you twist to the right a little bit better. What I want to do after that is I want to show you how to twist to the right properly so that your body can download information and it can make a more permanent change.
Yeah. So we're trying to retension the body at that point, right? So it doesn't just, like Lee was saying, it doesn't just stop at like treating the area or even treating the fascial line itself, like through passive or active modalities. At that point, what we like to really get into here is, like he was just talking about, retensioning those areas, showing the body how to move correctly again so that those areas can function properly again.
It's interesting. We, not that long ago, we had a whole variety of different patients in, and we were just talking to them about their experiences and asking them to kind of share their story. And if you follow us on the Facebook or the Instagram, sometimes those will show up. But what was really interesting when we were just talking to those patients was how often that fact came up of what they've learned. Mm-hmm. That it's like, oh, you know, I came in and they were able to solve or figure out what was going on. And almost always there's like an aha moment for people. There certainly was for me. Every time I get treated, I'm always like, oh, wow, you know, it was totally not that area that was the actual problem. But the other thing that everybody brought up was the learning component. Like, I learned how to move properly. I learned some self-care resources. And that's helped me long-term not have this thing be a chronic issue. Where a lot of times you have people come in and it's like a chronic issue. They've been dealing with it for a long period of time, maybe years.
Right.
And maybe they've gotten relief in the past because they've gone in for a treatment somewhere, but they haven't gotten that repatterning and they haven't gotten that proper movement function so they can really have relief.
Yeah. Biggest key to that you were just talking about is patient education. And I think that's something that we really try to stress here with all of our patients is not only, like you were saying there, Barry, is giving them the tools that they need to keep themselves out of pain and, you know, keep their body functioning properly, but to educate them on those systems so that they understand how their body works a little bit better in the long run as well. And that's one of the biggest things we can do, as long with getting people out of their pain, is just educating them on like how these systems work, so that they can stay out of pain, right? So they don't have to be coming in all the time.
Yeah, because people tend to be really consumed with their muscles. They say, oh, I have pain, it has to be my muscle. Or, oh, I have pain, it has to be my joint. They never think like, oh, like I have fascia pain because I'm not rehydrating or anything like that. That's more like our job as clinicians to kind of see that and educate the person on how to effectively deal with that. Most of the time, it's easy just taking a lacrosse ball to the area or, again, doing some active movement.
Yeah, so that's where we're going to kind of default back to some of these tools that we're giant fans of, the lacrosse ball, the foam roller, and some other things, even like the rock floss and stuff, some stuff like that, right?
Yeah, rock floss is a great one. You can definitely get some really increased fascial gliding, what we call that, with the rock floss, which is good because you get that compression on the tissue. Also creates a little bit of lack of blood flow. And then once you release that, more blood flow can get into the area. You can kind of cycle some nutrients through that area as well. Because really, I mean, it's not just the fascia alone. I mean, that's definitely a big component that we look at, but no system ever works alone, right? There's a bunch of different components that work into this, whether or not that's the fascia plus the circulatory system or lymphatic system, or the muscles themselves as well. But I mean, you know, you really got to look at all the systems that could be at play with all these different issues that we might see come up in the clinic. So the rock floss, yeah, great one of doing that. Another one that we like to use a lot here is the instrument-assisted soft tissue mobilization. That's using either like a plastic or metal tool to kind of scrape along the fascia. Factor is a certain paradigm that I'll use with that as well, which is taking the muscle through a certain motion as you're doing that scraping to really promote proper tension throughout the fascia going through motion as well. So that's another protocol that we can use here as well along with that. There's various other ones that we use here as well.
Yeah, I mean, we can use things like cupping. Use the cold laser. Cupping is a really nice one because it decompresses the tissue and it can actually cause a negative pressure therapy. That's what we call it. So when you're thinking about anything that's in pain, when there's swelling that accumulates, it creates high pressure in an area. So if you want to pull swelling out of that, what you could do is you can go up the chain and put a lower pressure area by putting a cup, like say on your hip or something, to pull that swelling out of your thigh. So it's very like thermodynamically based. Like you're just looking for that high pressure to go to the low pressure. And oftentimes people don't think about the human body as something that you can affect with just simple means like that. We think because we think a lot and we're really smart and we can do all this thing at our own will that we don't necessarily understand that we also apply to science and what our world is doing around us.
Totally. Yeah. This is where also I think if you have a daily, like a little bit of a daily movement ritual, this was, I think, where there could be real benefit in even something super cool, like maybe like a Tai Chi routine that you're doing. That'd be pretty dope. Or like a sun salutation type yoga type thing. And I know we have a CARS video. That's a great video. That's kind of a technical video of moving through all of your joints and kind of getting your body to move properly. But that type of a daily movement ritual could be really beneficial as well.
Absolutely. I mean, we've talked about like the Quench protocol in the past, and we're really big fans of it because it talks about those little micro movements. Like you're stuck in the same position at your desk. Your arms are right in front of you. Your back's going to be deprived of water, oxygen, nutrients in general. So if you do like a couple shoulder rolls, you pinch your shoulders back and forth, you feel a little bit better from that. That's because your body's got a little bit more nutrients in that area now. It's well hydrated. You just feel better when that stuff's nice and supple. Yeah.
And it doesn't need to be complicated. That's the thing, is I feel like a lot of people think that, you know, when they need to get movement in, it needs to be like, oh, I need to be doing this, this, and this. And it's like, no, you, like, start small. Like, it doesn't need to be something like drastic right away. Like Lee was saying, it's these little micro movements that can help, you know, a lot of people with desk jobs. Like, just get up and walk for a little bit, like stretch a little bit, you know, just anything like that that you can do throughout your day to get a little bit of motion in is huge, huge effects from that. And like I said, does not need to be complicated.
You don't always have to lift a weight.
Yeah. No, you don't. No.
But there you have it.
Yeah.
Simple movements can create massive benefits. Like, small hinges can swing big doors, and we want to get that kind of blood flow, those nutrients back into that fascial areas, back into those muscles, so that you're feeling fantastic when you move. And if you have an issue and if you're feeling pain, obviously come on in and we'll figure out what's going on. But generally speaking, one of the things that we're going to be looking at is those fascial, what's going on with that fascial system as well.
100%.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks, guys. This is great. Always love learning from these two big brains. Gentlemen, have a fantastic rest of the day. Guys, thanks for tuning in, and we'll catch you on the next show.
Yep, thank you.
See you later.